Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 26th of June. We're nearing the end of our studies in Philippians. We're into chapter 4 this week. We're going to look at verses 1 to 9, and then we are going to, next week, finish off chapter 4 and the letter to the Philippians. Just to give you a little heads up as to what's happening with Beside the Burn. This week, there are going to be studies each weekday based on chapter 4, and then we're taking a break from Beside the Burn over the summer. And then we'll be back in September, probably with a series on the book of Revelation. Preparations are underway for that, and if everything goes well, then we will look at Revelation together. If I find it's too difficult, then we might look at something different, but that's the plan, God willing, at the moment. Just some announcements for you. First of all, do remember our drop-in every Thursday in June, so there's one more week to go. This Thursday is the last drop-in before the summer. Come and join us, 10:30 to 12:00 noon, just drop in, have a cuppa, have a scone, have a chat, and we'd love to see you there. Do also remember our prayer meeting. You can come this Wednesday at 9:30, and then there'll be a break over the summer as well. So let's worship God together. And in Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." So today, as we come to worship, as we come to praise God, we want to rejoice, and we want to gather in his name, thanking him and praising him. So let's come before God in prayer together. God of peace, cause us to rejoice in you always. Make us gentle to everyone. Keep us from being anxious about anything. Help us to ask you for what we need with thanksgiving, and let your peace guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we are thankful that you are constantly at work in our lives. You are a help in times of difficulty, a strength in times of weakness, a guide when we feel lost and alone. We know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have the power to transform lives, to mend broken relationships, to bring strength to the weary and hope to the brokenhearted. So we bring our worries and our burdens, our hopes and dreams before your throne of grace, knowing that you are the Lord of our lives and the hope of the world. And we pray for ourselves that we might know the gentle authority of Jesus in all parts of our lives, leading us, guiding us, encouraging and directing us, now and always. Amen. Let's read together from Philippians chapter 4. We're reading verses 1 to 9. And this is Paul drawing the letter to a close. And this is a call for unity among the believers in Philippi. And as we'll see, there's an opportunity here that there might be some discord between a couple of the ladies in the congregation. And Paul wants to see an end to that. And so he gives us lots of instructions as to how we're to live our lives. So let's hear God's word together. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euode and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. Today, as we reach this final chapter of Philippians, it almost seems in the letter as though Paul is running out of time, and he starts chucking everything into the letter that he can think of. Not that he's wasted any words so far, but now he just seems to cram every verse with instructions for this church in Philippi. And he also draws attention to a thorny issue in the church. There are two women who seem to have a disagreement. Now, Paul knows them both, and he realizes that this has the potential to cause big problems in the church. People might start to take one side rather than the other, so Paul urges them to sort out the disagreement. So let's dive straight in and see what God is telling us. Verse 1 of chapter 4 links us back to what Paul has already been writing. Before he moves on with the new commands, remember he has been telling the Philippians that they are citizens of heaven and they are awaiting a saviour from heaven. And he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Paul's saying here, if you are a citizen of heaven, nothing can shake you in this world. You stand firm against anything that the world throws at you because your identity and your worth is tied to what is to come rather than to what is happening in your life. Has somebody let you down? Paul says, stand firm. Are you struggling with your health? Stand firm. Is life simply not turning out the way that you wished it would? Stand firm. You have something greater to come. Next, Paul deals with two ladies from the congregation. And his plea is that these two women would be united. After all, women have played a key role in the growth of this church. Lydia was the first convert whenever Paul went down by the river and met those who were coming to pray. And Paul knows these women in the church. Indeed, they have worked for the gospel alongside him, and he wants them to sort out their differences. Because this sort of behaviour could easily cause a split in the church. And look at the reason Paul gives them to sort it out. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers whose names are in the book of life. These two women, along with Clement and all the other co-workers in the church, have a place secured in heaven. Their names are written in the book of life. So Paul is saying to them, in effect, if your eternal destiny is secure, then surely there you can be united here on earth. If you both know that you have trusted in Jesus and that he has secured your salvation, then surely whatever differences you have can be set aside. So then we move on to the next command. It would appear that it's probably been quite difficult for Paul to write about this disagreement. He would rather not have had to mention it in a letter that everyone is going to read. Imagine we're introduced to Euodiae or Syntyche in eternity. The first thing that we are going to think is, those names sound familiar. How do I know you? And they're going to have to reply and mention Philippians. And we won't ask them about how the church was planted. We probably won't even ask them about how it grew and how many people came to faith. We'll probably ask them about the disagreement and say, what was it that caused Paul to mention you in the letter? So, having dealt with the disagreement, Paul returns to his major theme that runs right through the whole letter about finding joy and rejoicing in the Lord. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoicing is important enough to be mentioned twice, important enough to be mentioned right throughout the letter, just in case anyone would overlook it. So Paul's saying here, look, let's not dwell on the disagreements. Let's rejoice in the Lord, and everything else will be seen in the right perspective. Paul then keeps these instructions coming thick and fast, one verse after another, one command after another. He has had to call out the two women with the disagreement, and some perhaps might be accusing him of being too harsh on them. So the next command is all about showing people our gentleness. And again, look at the reason given for being gentle. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The word gentleness has been translated using lots of different words in various translations. Some refer to softness, reasonableness, moderation. So all of that gives us the sense that Jesus is coming back. He's coming with judgment, and therefore we are to show that we care about what is happening to those who do not know the Lord. You see, sometimes Christians can appear as though they are longing for the judgment just so that they can see people punished. But here, Paul is encouraging us to show the gentle side of caring about the eternal destiny of those who need salvation, showing that because the Lord's judgment is near, we have a gentleness to those who need a saviour. Not that we just stand and condemn them, but we long to see them coming and trusting in Jesus. Paul has a lot to pack into these verses, and his next command is simply, do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything, he says at the beginning of verse 6. You see, there is much that the Philippians could worry about. They were living in a Roman colony, and there was the ever-present threat of the Roman armies. They were under pressure from society around them to conform. They were under pressure also from within the church. And they were finding it difficult to live out the gospel. So Paul gives them the simple command, and he says, do not be anxious. And Paul has some very good advice to help them alleviate the worry. He says, pray. Prayer is the one thing that will help get rid of the worry in your life. He says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. When you could be worrying, Paul says, pray instead. It is the best way to get a different outlook on life. Always amazes me that more people do not make use of the church prayer meetings. And I've chosen those words carefully, make use of. I think many people think prayer is something that should be done, but they think that it's too difficult. But prayer is simply a gift for us to use. It helps us in every aspect of our lives. Some of the most dramatic moments at a prayer meeting are when we pray for each other, when there's a genuine need and we all pray, and the worry is taken away and we see a way forward and we trust in the Lord. Paul tells us that the result of praying whenever we're worried is peace. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, we cannot fake peace. It only comes about because of prayer. Look at the world and how many people are missing peace in their lives. How many today are struggling to find meaning, to find contentment in their lives. And yet here we are with one of the greatest gifts to offer the world, the peace of God. That comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven. That comes from our Saviour in whom we trust. Peace cannot be taken for granted. It can only be found in God. And then finally, there are two pieces of advice that begin to tie all these things together. If we want to have peace, if we want to live as citizens of heaven, if we want to live fulfilling lives, then Paul tells us to think. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The world, it bombards us with all sorts of things to think about, things to fill our minds, rubbish to fill our minds with, to fill our minds with things that would take us away from our Saviour. And Paul says the only way to combat that is to think about things that are better. Things that are better than the world has to offer. Things that God has to offer. What do we think about? Whatever is true. Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. We are to think about those things. But whenever we think about such things, then we should also practice them. There are too many who have thought about such things, but have never thought to put them into action in their lives. Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, you see, he's returning to peace once again. He's repeated the command to rejoice and repeated the peace that God gives us. So today, let's rejoice in the peace that our Saviour gives us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have given to us through this letter that Paul has written to the Philippian church. And Lord, we thank you that as it was written to those early Christians, we thank you, Lord, that today as we read it, this message still applies to us. So Lord, help us to rejoice. Help us to find peace in you. And help us, Lord, to stand firm in you, that we might follow you and serve you, and that we might think upon the good things of this life. So now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.